The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. So glad that you have joined me. And this is really like a holy cow episode. I haven't done a holy cow episode in a while. Holy cow, folks. Pfizer CEO gets trapped and gives vaccine victims the middle finger. Now, I'm being figurative. He didn't actually throw up a middle finger, but his actions and what he did was basically giving the middle finger to the victims of the vaccine. And you will see I'm not exaggerating. By the questions he was being asked and the fact that he just didn't even care and doesn't even think it's worth his time to even respond to these questions was him giving the middle finger to every single vaccine victim and middle finger to all the countries that bought a fake vaccine with zero efficacy that does not work whatsoever, and they scammed all these countries into buying the vaccine. He gave them the middle finger too by, he doesn't care. Doesn't care 1 ounce. Doesn't even try to show that he cares. Not 1 ounce. What happened? How did he get trapped? Well, the problem for him was he went to Davos, Switzerland, where all the liberals are meeting for the World Economic Forum, where he thinks it's all safe. They even have security guards and everything to make sure that only liberal globalists who want to depopulate the earth, basically, are the ones that are in there. So he's amongst friends. He's amongst allies. And any media that's there is going to be an ally media. He couldn't believe that. He thought, well, I can just strut around here. It's perfectly safe. There won't be real media. And he was wrong. There was real media called Rebel News. You know, what they say is the fringe media or whatever is the real media. Places like the New American, that's the real media. TheNewAmerican.com. Rebel News, that's real media. Epic Times, real media. The Exposé, real media. That's real media. It's the media that they say is mainstream. That's what's fake. Completely fake. So there was actual real media. He didn't think there's no way these media outlets like that could be here. That didn't even cross his mind. And it is so awesome that Rebel News did this because it really does. His lack of caring and responding to legitimate questions, questions that he should at least give some acknowledgement to, shows he really was giving everybody the middle finger. And this should happen to him, what you're about to see, everywhere he goes. I'll restate that after because it's so true. So Rebel News caught him. They caught him. They caught him coming out, and they asked such fantastic questions. You can tell this is real media because every single question is dead on about the truth. The media would never ask these questions. And the fact that he knows that these are the truth, that's why he's not talking too, because he knows it's the truth. He can't deny it's the truth. All he can do is act like, I don't care. I'm not going to answer your, I don't have to. I don't have to care about the victims. I can give them the middle finger. I am in Davos. So what's going to happen to me here? Nothing. So watch him give the middle finger by not even responding to legitimate questions. And you'll see why I'm saying he's giving the middle finger. You'll understand. When you see it, you'll say, oh yeah, he really is giving the vaccine victims. Anyone who's been vaccinated and had any type of event, anyone that's had a relative who died from the vaccine, if you see this, you will feel like he just gave you the middle finger. Ready? Here we go. This is fantastic stuff. It's a long clip. Usually I don't play this long of clips, but I'm going to play it all the way through a long clip, the whole thing from Rebel News, because it's so wonderful. Take a listen.
Mr. Borlaug, can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
Why would you answer that question? I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir, to give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine?
Yeah, you have a little bit of rant.
Are you not ashamed of what you've done in the last couple of years?
Do you have any apologies to the public, sir?
Are you proud of it? You've made millions on the backs of people's entire livelihoods. How does that feel to walk the streets as a millionaire on the backs of the regular person at home in Australia, in England, in Canada?
What do you think about on your yacht, sir? What do you think about on your private jet? Are you worried about product liability? Are you worried about myocarditis?
What about the sudden deaths?
What do you have to say about young men dropping dead of heart attacks every day? Why won't you answer these basic questions? No apology, sir.
Do you think you should be charged criminally for some of the criminal behavior you've obviously been a part of?
How much money have you personally made off the vaccine?
How many boosters do you think it'll take for you to be happy enough with your earnings? Nothing?
Who did you meet with here in secret? Will you disclose who you met with? Who did you pay commissions to? In the past, Pfizer has paid $2.3 billion in fines for deceptive marketing. Have you engaged in that same conduct again? Are you under investigation like you were before for your deceptive marketing, sir?
If any other product in the world doesn't work as promised, you get a refund. Should you not refund to countries that laid out billions for your ineffective vaccine?
Are you used to only sympathetic media, so you don't know how to answer any questions?
Is that it? Shame on you, sir.
Shame on you. That's Albert Bourla, the boss of Pfizer. His people were pushing us around a little bit.
Mate, he's pretty fit. I don't reckon he's had one jab.
I'm huffing and puffing a bit. At least I didn't have any myocarditis.
Now, listen, folks, there's more. I want to give you what they say in their pitch about what they do at Rebel News, because what they did is fantastic. And if I'm going to play their cut, I want them to be able to you to see everything and what they say after. But you can totally see, and if you're listening on the radio, obviously you can hear he doesn't answer any of the questions. But when you see the video, you can see he doesn't care. And at one point, as they're walking, you can see he so doesn't want these people asking these questions because he knows how accurate these questions are, that he tries to duck behind a screen thing. I don't know what it was, but there's a guy standing there and he wasn't allowed in. And he goes in and his aides that are walking with him are like, okay, you're going to have to come this way. He thought he saw an escape. So he tried to quickly duck in there and then he couldn't. So they were able to ask a whole bunch more questions. But his facial expression was basically the middle finger to every vaccine victim. Now, you're the head of Pfizer. Your vaccine has done a ton to people, and you won't even acknowledge that there are victims. Every vaccine victim of Pfizer should be so enraged when they see this. This guy did it to you, knew ahead of time. He knew all of the bad side effects. That's the other thing people don't know. Pfizer knew They knew they were going to hurt you. They knew you were going to die. They knew you were going to get myocarditis. They knew. They knew all of this. They knew it all. They knew you were going to get blood clots. But they were going to make billions. Now, do you understand? Billions. They knew they were guaranteed to make billions from the U.S. government. So even though they knew their vaccine was going to do all this, do you think that man was going to say, okay, I could make $70 billion. I think that's the number. Either that or $90 billion, but I think it's 70. $70 billion I can make. Or I could say, our vaccine might harm people, so we're not going to make the $70 billion. That man who just gave you the middle finger mentally, that man, you don't think wants the $70 billion and your health be damned? He's saying, yeah, by his actions there, that was, I don't care about all this. Your health be damned. I made $70 billion. What are you going to do? I have immunity. The U.S. government allowed me to murder people, allowed me and said, don't worry, man, you're going to make billions of dollars and we're going to say that you can't even be sued or touched. So you're a lock. There's nothing they can do to you. But he didn't think about in the future that there would be real news and he would become a poster boy of evil. He didn't think about that. All he thinks about is money. And this is what all evil people do. They think about the money. They don't think there could ever be any consequence, even if they know they can't go to prison. But there is a consequence for him. You can see how much he hated that. And my point is the fact that he hated that so much, that's how that man should be treated by citizens. They should be shouting questions like that. Because news will never do it. Anytime he's in public, anywhere, if anyone sees him, they should be shouting questions like that to him. The true questions. And he deserves to live in uncomfortable, I'm always being asked about my evil. Because it reminds him, you're an evil man. You're in Davos. You went there to be praised, to feel good about yourself. And he couldn't stand that he went to Davos and he was reminded, you're pure evil. And that's why I hate it. And now some of you think, you're over the top now, Ben. You're over the top. I'm not. I'm going to let you hear what the Rebel News reporters had to say. And then I'm going to give you Naomi Wolf, who exposed the Pfizer documents and what was in them, proving that this guy and Pfizer knew everything. So I'm going to show you that. So it's not just me saying it that they knew. But I'll tell you this, even before I give you the Naomi Wolf stuff that they found in the Pfizer documents that the court, that they tried to hide for 75 years because they knew they were criminals and they did evil and lied. So they wanted it hidden for 75 years. So every victim that they had would already be dead by the time it ever comes out. Well, see, it came out. So now his victims can actually approach him and shout questions at him. And that's what should be happening. But they knew before the trials, let me remind you, that for SARS, they tested mRNA technology for SARS-1, animal trials, way before COVID. And they knew that the mRNA DNA gene therapy would kill people because it killed the animals in the animal studies. It destroyed the animals' immune systems. And when the animals were introduced with another virus, like a year later, they all died. And they knew that, and they took that technology and said, well, let's give it to people anyways. So they can't act like they didn't know. They had animal trials that told them there will be blood clotting, there will be heart attacks, there will be the destruction of the immune system. The animal studies guaranteed them that that was going to happen to people, and they did it, let alone they did trials on people, and the trials on the people confirmed, yeah, the animal studies are right. It's going to damage people. So just remember that. Here's what the reporters had to say after that, though. They did such a great job.
I dare say he's shocked that in his safe space at the WEF here in Davos that he was challenged in a way that he's never to date been challenged.
Well, that's the thing. We're not accredited media here. We're on the outside of the perimeter. So he's only used to the softballs from CNN and MSNBC and people like that. I asked him a real question about product liability. No answer. A real question about Pfizer's past deceptive practices. You know, they paid the largest fine in American history to the Justice Department for deceptive marketing. I don't know if that's underway right now. I don't know if they're being investigated, but I think they should be. When did he know that the vaccine didn't actually stop transmission? I wanted to find out, because surely he knew before we knew. Why didn't he tell us? I don't know. Avi, I'm really proud of that question. It was like a kind of walking scrum.
A joint effort there, because I know it's very hard when you're working in the moment as a, to actually remember all the activities that these people are criminals in my book. The stuff that they've engaged in the last 2 years, they need to be held accountable for. And in the moment that you don't usually get this much time, he had a bit of a walk, and to actually work together and be able to work around those trying to protect him, it was exactly what I feel we're here for.
That big gorilla guy was sort of pushing me around a bit, but I've got a low center of gravity myself. I'm worried about one thing though, Avi. Pfizer is connected to big media in an enormous way. I'm worried that they're going to try and block this video. I'm worried they're going to try and cancel it on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, places like that. So I want to look straight at the camera and say, folks, if you cannot find this video out there, go to WEFreports.com. That's a special website we've set up for the World Economic Forum, WEFreports.com. And if you feel moved by our coverage, please consider chipping in, because we're 100% crowdfunded. Obviously, we get no ad money. We've been completely demonetized. But if you like that kind of accountability journalism, Avi Yamini from Australia, I'm Ezra Levant from Canada. We got a great team from around the world. Please go to WEFreports.com. Last word to you, Avi.
And no matter where they cancel this video, we will update and have a current version there at WEFreports.com. And there you can share all the content from all the guys on the ground here doing outstanding work. And if you agree that it is as important and as outstanding as I think it is, then please chip in a couple of dollars to help pay the cost to do this.
Yeah, well, that was a great moment. We'll have plenty more. Congrats, my friend.
Yes, that was fantastic. Now let me give you Naomi Wolf, who is fantastic. In case you're wondering, does that guy deserve to be grilled like that? Of course he did, because Pfizer knew ahead of time. And here's Naomi Wolf showing, because we got the Pfizer documents that they tried to hide for 75 years. Watch. This is from War Room, Bannon's War Room. Take a listen.
We brought on board this extraordinary project director, who's now our COO, Amy Kelly, who has skill sets, I know, that I would never have been able to find elsewhere, certainly don't have. So she organized this huge group into six working groups with a committee overseeing each of them. And they've produced now 51 reports. And this is a separate subject, but I'll touch on it quickly, and then I'll stop and take questions. This group found in the Pfizer documents evidence of really the greatest crime against humanity, probably since the Second World War. And I'm Jewish and the granddaughter of a woman who lost 9 brothers and sisters in the Holocaust, so I don't say that lightly. But basically what emerges from the Pfizer documents is that Pfizer knew that the mRNA injections did not work within a month after rollout. They knew that they caused heart damage in minors, 4 months before there was a press release telling any parents that they caused heart damage in minors. They knew that there's so many headlines. 61 people died of stroke in the Pfizer documents in just 3 months, and half of the strokes were within 48 hours of the injection. There are thousands and thousands of examples of heart damage, myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, lung clots, as I mentioned, strokes, brain hemorrhages, catastrophic harms that, of course, we weren't told about. The really creepy thing in the Pfizer documents, there's so much that is creepy, is a 360-degree scrutiny of human reproduction. So Pfizer defines exposure to the vaccine as including inhalation, skin contact, and sexual intercourse. Specifically from men to women. In other words, they seem to define exposure as ejaculation. They warn men in the study who are having sex with women of childbearing age either to abstain or to use two effective methods of contraception. And they define exposure to the vaccine as especially notable at the moment of conception. So they knew there was something about the injection that could harm reproduction in that way. We found in the Pfizer documents that Pfizer knew that the lipid nanoparticles and the materials distributed within 48 hours to the spleen, the brain, and but notably the ovaries and the testes as well, and the liver. And this, of course, interested me tremendously because I'm seeing this damage to women, you know, with their menses. Pfizer has like 20 different names for damage to women's menstrual cycle in the Pfizer documents. 72% of the adverse events are to women. And of those, Pfizer defines 16% of them as reproductive disorders. That's Pfizer's words.
That is. And that's Naomi Wolf and her team that have went through the Pfizer documents. And after hearing all of what they knew way ahead of time, besides the animal trials that gave them the heads up that this was going to be the case, before they ever even tried to develop this vaccine, they knew that with the SARS-1 attempt to do a vaccine with SARS-1 and the mRNA technology, they already knew going in. And you don't think Albert Bourla, the head of Pfizer, wasn't giving you a middle finger by not answering those questions? He absolutely was. They knew ahead of time. He knows it. It's pure 100% criminal activity, but who's going to hold him accountable? The governments gave him immunity. Now, his immunity, because of the fraud is supposed to be in the legal sense. If you can prove fraud, it doesn't matter that the government gives you immunity. You lose that immunity, at least in our laws. But the problem is our government so corrupt, they're not going to allow our judges or anyone to say there's fraud and strip him of their immunity, even though there's proven fraud. But do you think our government, who pushed them to do this, is going to allow them to be held accountable? Technically, even with their immunity, we could hold them accountable because they committed fraud. But you know that they'll never allow it. Because they were doing this on the behalf of our own government. Why would the government allow that when the government then also will become liable by stripping Pfizer of its immunity? You will find out that our government and Fauci and people in our government, they all knew too. The CDC knew, the FDA knew, they all knew. They all knew. They all knew from the animal studies, folks. They knew before they even said they were going to develop this. We're going to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. They knew exactly what they were going to do. Take that mRNA technology and experiment on the world, even though it failed in all the animal trials, because they were experimenting on how much can we depopulate the earth. And don't forget that Bill Gates said they wanted to kill, or he didn't say the word kill. He wanted to depopulate the earth. He said this in 2010 in public by 15%. So that tells you their goal was to have 15% of the people who get the vaccine to die. That was their goal. Bill Gates said it in 2010. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, Welcome to the singularity. She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it, but her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame. The new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, E-N-D-S-H-I-P. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of the New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code N20, E-N-D-2-0.